It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is beautiful Sister Judy Gifford. How are you?
I'm good. I'm always good when I come and hear you say, "There's beautiful Judy." I mean, I've never had that attached to my name before. It just lifts my heart.
Well, you are just so gorgeous. Well, I just love you dearly.
I love you too.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. Or you can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling. If you're looking to build a new home or to add on to the one you got or even just remodel, please, I encourage you to reach out to Spain's Construction. They're out of Weatherford, Oklahoma, y'all. Sister Judy, I think I covered it all.
Okay.
Would you please pray to start us out?
Let's go. Father, we come to you today, and best we know how, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. And first, we praise you, Lord, for life and breath and strength. I praise you for eyesight to see today, for hands that feel and work, for feet that work, for knees that will carry me around. I thank you today, Lord, for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, and most of all, for what you've done for us, Lord, for revealing your word to us, Lord, for dying on the cross, for shedding your blood, for raising to your glory, Lord, and to our benefit. We thank you for forgiveness of sin, and today I humbly ask for your anointing. I ask for your anointing to rest upon this room, upon Neva and Monica, and upon myself, that you'll quicken my mind, that it won't be me that speaks, but it'll be you speaking through me, God. I pray for the listeners that you will touch their hearts, that you'll minister to them today, that you'll touch the deepest need of their life, and you will help them, God, to reach out to you, Lord, to be converted, if that's what they need to do, or to repent, or to walk with you, or to be drawn close to you, or have more enlightenment in your word. Minister to them today, we pray. And the glory belongs to you, Lord. We want none of your glory, but we humble ourselves and know that we are nothing and you are everything. But I ask you to use this clay this morning for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title.
Amen.
Your favorite scriptures.
Yes.
I've got my Bible.
That's good.
Let me open it real fast.
Well, I have had, I don't know how many Bibles through my life. I find some of the old ones, you know, and I will find that I liked certain scriptures. And when I was about 13, somewhere in there, I realized I need to read the Word. And I remember being at my aunt's house for summer vacation and laying on the bed and looking at my little white Bible somebody had given me, for something at church. I don't know. It probably wasn't graduation because I wasn't old enough then. Or maybe it was junior high graduation. And I look, and I'd underline, you know, stuff in my Bible. Now, some people don't believe in writing in your Bible, and that's your prerogative. But I love to write in my Bible, underlining. If you look at my Bible, I've got yellow and pink and greens and blues. Not on everything. I've got circles on some things. But I was thinking when she asked me to speak, what do I need to speak about, pray about? And I thought, you know what? I need to talk about the Word of God and how the Word of God has sustained me from my early years when I began to learn how to read and learn how to, and then in my teenage years. And then as I have written, I wrote a couple of articles on the internet, Psalms 37 and what that meant to me when the camp speaker at youth camp began to explain what Psalms 37 was, and I found a love for it. What I really found, Monica, is that it works. It is what they said is true. So the camp speaker told us, and he started preaching on Psalms 37. I have to admit, Psalms is probably my favorite And I love that David. I hope I get to see him when I get to heaven, because I identify with him. He had mistakes, he had lows, he had highs. I like what Mark Lowry said. He said if David had had Prozac, we'd never had the scriptures.
Come on.
Because he has so many lows and so many highs. But isn't that where we all are? We never just have a smooth, straight track or just a straight up track. You know what? Sometimes we have great moments, and then sometimes immediately after your great moment, you've done something great for God, like Elijah did. You know, he called fire down out of heaven on Mount Carmel, and then he got a word. They killed all those false prophets. The nation turned back to God. Even old Ahab, you know what Ahab did? He said he must have been going right on. You know, and he said, Ahab, get yourself home because it's getting ready to rain. Because, see, it wasn't raining because of the wickedness of the people. But after Mount Carmel, and everybody started saying, the Lord, he is God. He is God. And when they did that, Elijah said, now I can pray for rain. And what I love about Roger, he prayed 7 times, and it was God's will to send the rain. But God didn't. Now, God answered by fire the first time. And see, this is what stumps me sometimes. Have you ever you've had such a special need, and you go to God, and instantly, the answer's there. And then there's something else, and you know what? It's almost like God said, you got to wait on this one. You got to pray some more. I do not know. I don't know circumstances. I know God, when it hasn't happened immediately, you just keep praying. Now, there used to be a thing going around. If you pray more than once, that's redundant, but that's wrong. Because Jesus prayed 3 times over getting ready to go to the cross, and no telling how much he'd prayed that wasn't recorded, but it's recorded that he went 3 times and fell on his face, and he prayed the same thing for three times. So let me tell you, if God hasn't answered a prayer for you yet, keep praying. Keep standing in the gap and making up the hedge for that prodigal, or that situation that hasn't changed, or for your marriage, or for your healing. And presently, I'm standing in faith for my healing, and I've got me a word. And that's heard Karen Wheaton this morning. She's saying, all you need is a word. And once you got a hold of this word, once you got a word in the word,
come on,
and you get a hold of this, and you hang on to this, all heaven can move for you, and it will. I mean, God will answer your prayer, because heaven and earth may pass away, but this word will not pass away. And when you can get a hold of it and claim your promises and not let the devil talk you out of it, because when you haven't seen it yet, all these say, well, why haven't I've been praying? I mean, I've been praying and praying. I've been fasting. Why hasn't this thing broken yet? But when you're talking with some situations, some I really don't know why they haven't happened. I think maybe the kind of faith is needed for a miracle. Maybe we're not there. Maybe there's some doubt, some fear, some unbelief that we have to work past and get past that and stand on. In fact, sometimes, like Karen's daughter, she was out in sin for 3 years. And Karen was standing in the gap. And God kept giving her words. One day he gave her, it was March 23. It was yesterday, was the date. She said, I can't believe this. She made that yesterday. The very day I'm talking about this, she opened it. And God had given her those words, March 23. But God has the same word. Though she's out in sin, the devil can't do anything because she's coming back. Something similar to that. I don't remember. Some scripture in Isaiah. But she got it from 2 different people the same day, in the morning and then the night. And so neither one of them had any of the idea that God sent it. What she got was a word. And guess what she was doing? She was in a closet seeking God, praying, asking God to bring her daughter. What was happening with her daughter? She was on her way. She was out in sin. She was out doing her own thing. She was on her way to meet somebody. Now, she's got a husband and 3 kids. And she's out in the pig pen. She's away from God. And her mother's interceding. And God is giving her a word. Let me tell you, no matter what the devil's trying to do to tear things up for you, you keep holding on. You keep holding on to this word. You get a word from God. You seek him till you get a word. And she's got this word from God. And she's saying, God, save my daughter. God, you said. God, you promised. And so what happens to her daughter? I heard her daughter testify that she was on her way to meet somebody, and the police stopped her. And before the police situation was over, she was in jail. And as she was sitting in jail, she's thinking, I don't want this life. I want my mama. I want my husband. I want my kids. And they let her have a phone call. And she calls her mama and said, Mom, come get me. She goes back to her husband and she walks in and she says, is there any way? I don't think you could probably ever forgive me. But she said, I bore my heart to him with all my sins and all. And let me tell you, that is a key. When you have sinned, and the Bible says, who hasn't? When you have sinned, let me say this, when you grossly sinned, when you have deliberately sinned. Now, the Bible says, I say unto you, little children, sin not. It's not God's will for us to sin. But what I so love is that when we do, when we do, there's an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he says, come boldly before my throne of grace, that ye may find grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. Boy, I need grace and I need mercy to help me in time of need. Mm-hmm. And if you will do that and you will fess up, quit saying you didn't do it. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You watch a little kid. You can watch him stick his hand in the cookie jar. And I've seen it happen, you know. And they pull their hand up. They got the cookie behind their back. And you say, did you do it? No. No. Well, who did it? She did. He did. Well, there's a cookie missing. Who's got it? Could you turn around? You know. And sometimes when we turn around, there the cookie is. Mm-hmm. And it's not only on our hand, it's on our face. You know what? Whether people saw it or not, God did. And the only way you're going to get deep cleansing, and the only way you're going to get restored totally, only way God's going to pick you up and be able to really use you the way he has planned, because the calling on your life is without repentance. God's not through with you. But you know what? You won't fess up. You don't have to confess to men, but you got to confess it deeply before the Lord. And there is time before people to say, yep. There's even a place that's been used wrongly many times for you to get up in front of the elders of the church and say, guess what, bud? I am so sorry. I've embarrassed myself. I've embarrassed the church. And I know that's been used wrongly, and you need to talk to your pastor before you do stuff like that. But there, what the scripture is trying to tell us is sin won't hide. So you can go ahead and try to hide it. You can try to work around it. You can try to finagle your way around it. And basically what you've got to do with that thing is own it and then come and lay it before the cross.
Come on.
And confess it up. And ask, go where David says in Psalms 50. Well, that's why I love the Psalms. Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. I've prayed that so many times. Lord, almost every other day or so, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, I realize something just, what is, hey, we're walking in a world. You can see something you shouldn't see. You get mad at somebody you shouldn't get mad at. Not that it's sin to get mad, but our human nature can rise up pretty fast, you know what, and take over. And we're going, whoa, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I'll tell you what was so funny one time. We were in a car with an evangelist, a pretty famous evangelist, pretty powerful servant of the Lord. And he had been just exhorting us and doing some, you know, wonderful ministry. But we were taking him back to Oklahoma City to get on the airplane. He's flying back home. And while we were driving, this big semi literally decided he wanted the space we were occupying on the highway. He just started pulling over into us. And my husband, thank God there was an extra lane for, you know, to pull over. And my husband had to pull over driving 70 miles an hour into that side lane to keep this truck from hitting us. And the evangelist, I'm sorry, it's so funny to me. The evangelist was in the front seat of the car, and it scared that fella so bad. If you're listening to this, brother, forgive me for laughing because it's so funny. It's been a lesson that I've shared with so many people to help them realize some truth here. But as the semi came over, it startled this evangelist so bad. I'm sitting in the back seat. My husband's driving. He's in the passenger seat. And as this guy pulled over, and we had to get out of the way and then slow down and then get back in over there. The guy yelled, the pastor, this evangelist yelled, idiot, just as loud as he could to the trucker. He just yelled, idiot. And then he goes, oh, my, oh, brother, Oh, sister, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I mean, he acted like he had said a string of cuss words, you know. And he was just so profusely sorry. And my husband said, oh, that's okay, brother. He said, when my wife drives, the idiots come out too. And he turned to me and he said, sister, you have to be careful with that. Because calling someone an idiot is akin to calling them a fool. And if you call them a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. And I'm like, what'd I do? I didn't do nothing. My husband threw me under the bus and I got ran over. You know, he's the one that said idiot. I didn't say idiot, you know. But anyway, I call people nerds sometimes when they when they do something silly that frustrates me driving. Probably shouldn't call them anything. But anyway, we're human, you know, we're human. And guess what? There's times, you know, if he made a vow, he wouldn't say that word, and then he did. No wonder he was really, you know, he was real circumspect with his life, and real, and God's using him in big ways. And let me tell you this, I do believe the higher we go in surrender and in usefulness for God, the more he demands from our lives, the more cleanness, the more, I mean, you could say, well, that's not really unclean, that's nothing. But in his mind and heart, he's not to be calling people idiots and fools. And because the scripture does say that. And I appreciate people who so take the word of God and go, yeah. They'll scrutinize it and they'll go, yeah, I got, yeah. You know, and yeah. And when you do step up on the word, like Psalms 37 says, fret not thyself. Well, what a good thing that is. And particularly in our generation right now. Hey, y'all, who's all upset about our government, come join me. Because this is, we're all upset about what they're doing. I can't watch the news because of what it does to me. But it says, do not fret because of evildoers. Psalms 37. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now apply that to who you want to apply that to, and then you can go, woohoo! You know, people in government you don't want there. Don't fret yourself over it. Pray about it. Seek God. Get ready for the rapture. We're getting really close to the end time. We're getting really close to the coming of the Lord. Instead of getting upset, we need to purify ourselves. We need to have family altar. We need to read our scripture to our kids. We get around and say, kids, we need to pray. These are signs. You need to tell your kids, these are signs Jesus is coming. You know, we got to get, you need to talk to your sweet little angel. He's so beautiful. He's a beautiful child. And he has such a tender heart. I went to their prayer. They have prayer and praise sometimes, and so I went to their just little prayer and praise thing, and little angel he was doing his dance. It was cute. I love that kid. I thought he's sweet.
I don't know where he learns that from.
I don't know where he gets that. But anyway, fret not yourself, and then go on down. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Sorry, I got off on that side note and threw myself here. Dwell in the land. And feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will bring, now listen to this. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Is somebody coming against you and saying you did something you didn't do? Okay. Call out to the Lord. Trust him and wait on him to bring the light shining on you. And go, they can look at the noonday. There's no shadows. There's no guesswork. It's all, you know what? And the Lord said, I will do that for you. Wow, what a treasure. What a treasure this word is. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way or the man who bring wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I got myself off there a little bit talking messing up there, anyway, do we need to pray yet?
No.
Okay. Okay. Father, help me know where to go here. I want to turn to God's word as a solace. God's word as a instructions. God's word as a tool, as promises to hold to. God's word as a foundation for our lives. God's, for a foundation, really, you can stand upon this foundation. I wanted to read Psalms 19 here. It says, Psalms 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes, each one of these means the word of God. It's talking about testimonies. It's talking about statutes. It's talking about commandments, laws. That's all talking about God's word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. And each one of those things means God's word, but it also has a little different connotation, meaning law, and then something that's happened, and you testify about it. And then it mean a statute, a kind of like a building block, a rule to guide, a guidance. The commandment of the Lord is something that he says, do this. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Listen, all this is the word of God. It's right. It makes the wise, the simple wise. It's pure and enlightens our eye. It opens our understanding. Oh, wow. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And that means that you honor him. And you're literally to the point, you know better than to do wrong. And so you know there are consequences to wrong. And so you want, kind of like say, your mother says, do not walk up and touch that stove. Leave that hot pan alone. It's got fire under it. You're going to burn yourself. But the little kid, it looks so pretty, and it looks so, and they want to go up and they want to touch it. But we know the commandment that the mother gave was the right thing. Do not touch. And you think, well, that's limiting you. Yeah. From hurt and harm. Do you know everything that the Lord says do or not do? It's for protection and provision. Everything. Mm-hmm. It's for protection. If he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Why? Because he don't want you to get venereal disease. He don't want you to get a soul tie to somebody that's illegal that you don't need a soul tie with. I haven't totally studied soul ties, but do you know they're very easy to form?
Yeah.
They're very easy to form with the wrong person, and you're spending time with the wrong person. And sometimes it's that person may not even be bad. It just may mean that they're not supposed to be in your life at this time for that reason. You as a friend, but you're not supposed to have this pulling connection, and they can just pull your chain. And so sometimes we need to pray a prayer and go, I break those soul ties in Jesus' name. I break them. Mm-hmm. Whoever I've had relations with or done things with that I shouldn't, God, I ask that you break those soul ties. If I've held somebody's hand, I shouldn't. I mean, if I've been in conversations with people and said things, I shouldn't. If I've made gestures, I shouldn't. Whatever. I need to break those in the name of Jesus. What breaks them? Prayer, the blood of Jesus. Sometimes maybe you need to fast and pray, depending on what's happened. But you need to break illegal, I call them illegal, soul yes. ties. They're soul ties. Hey, honey, you better be soul tied to your husband. You can be soul tied to your kids. We're tied. We're blood kin, but we're more than blood kin. We're emotionally soul tied.
Come on.
And you don't come up and talk about my kids to me.
Come on.
You know, I won't defend them. Mm-hmm. I'm soul tied to them. And Monica, you come up talking to me about Monica, and I'm going to defend her because she's my friend. Amen. We got some ties Amen. Going on here. We've been eating together. We've been friends. We've been praying together. And you form bonds to people that you pray with. So it's a good thing to get in church and pray and bond to the right people. Yes. Bond to people, you know, in the right way. And God will use them to lift you up. Because when a brother's discouraged, someone come along and say the right thing to you and encourage you and bless you. And I don't know why all this is coming out like this morning. I hadn't really intended to talk that. I was going to just read my favorite scriptures to you because they're scriptures that have lifted me, have admonished me, have encouraged me, have corrected me, have straightened me. What I love about the Lord, I kind of see it as there's this, in Colorado, there's this road. And I need to search out who made that because I've been told, but I've forgotten. It is a road that you get on, and it goes up, and it's high, and then you're up on it, and the sides drop off. And there's nothing there, and it's narrow. Only one car can get on it at a time. If you meet someone coming, somebody's going to have to back down that thing if somebody comes up the wrong way. It's a one-way, And then, and we've taken, we've gone over it several times, and my husband would take his dad over it, and we'd be in the car, and he's like, ooh, son, how do you get off? No, son, he didn't want that at all. Or have you ever gone up Pike's Peak? We took another evangelist up Pike's Peak one time. He literally hunkered down in the back seat where he couldn't see those drop-offs, you know. But anyway, I get talking about the evangelist, and I forget what I'm saying here. But God's word is a pruning for us. It is a major thing. The Bible says it purifies you. To read the word of God will purify you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I tell you, and just stop to think that the creator of all the worlds, he flung the worlds by his word into existence. He bent down and created a man. Look at your eye and how he created our eyes to work. And if you look at just science and nature, there's no way you cannot believe it is not a God. He created, but then that God speaks to us. He has a word for us, a word to live. In Proverbs, you get the word of the wisest man that ever lived and some good old practical stuff he says. Like one of the things he says is, don't go nobody's loan because you're going to pay for it. I mean, just some wise advice, you know. He just says, tells men to be watching their eyes and not be lusting after somebody. There's so much wonderful advice in the Word of God, and I am so thankful for the guidance and the help that it has given me in my life. Which one I was wanting to? Oh, Psalms 40. If you're sitting discouraged this morning, look at Psalms 40. I think it's Psalms 40. I don't have this one. Oh, that's Isaiah. No wonder. Just a second. I love Isaiah too. Isaiah has so many good things in it. Psalms, let me turn to 40, and then we'll go to 34 real quick. There are all so many so good. This says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock and established my steps or my going, King James says. He's put a new song in my mouth. Pray, don't you love a song in your heart? He's put a new song in my mouth, and even praise to our God. And here I love this. Many will see what God did for you, and they will put their trust in the Lord. And then it says, blessed is the man, or happy is the man that makes the Lord his trust. And you don't respect the proud or those who turn aside to lies. You know what? Who's your heroes? Who's your kids' heroes? You don't need to be lifting up godless men and women before your kids, nor follow them, nor... And here, this is just me, but I don't think you need to be going to concerts of people that are not Christian. They're out doing... I think you need to stay away from junk like that. And that's just an old lady's opinion. But, well, I'm not too old, am I?
No.
No. Okay. Anyway, but it's right. It's right. Because the scripture says this, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And there are some things. How do you know what's unclean? Well, you know what the word of God says. Then you get cleansing in your own heart, and then you know, and the Holy Spirit quickens you. And he says, no. Has he ever told you no, Monica?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He said, no. And so one time he told, it's almost like others may, you may not. And I said, well, but they can do that. Well, you know, I'm dealing with them in a different way than I'm dealing with you. And for right now, that's too much of a love in your heart. And you need to love me.
Come on.
You need to put me first in your life. They don't love that thing. They're just doing that thing. But you love it, so you gotta yield that to me and love me best. Then we'll give you some of this stuff. I've heard of one man said he loved golf so much that it's just his life, and the Lord asked him for it, and he gave it up. And then years later, the Lord gave it back. But you know, I don't know. We just follow along. The scripture says there's a little song. It's shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. God or something like that. God leads his dear children along. And then it says, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. You may can get by with something that I can't get by with. You know what? Because the Bible says, search out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean go do what you want to do. Do your thing. That is not what that means. That means get in the Word of God, seek Him, and let Him lead you, because He knows your heart, and He knows how to prune you at just the right moments and just the right things, because He's got a plan for you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to push you forward. He wants to use you for His kingdom, but He's got to do a work in your heart. And so this is going to be a real important thing for you to get into the Word and start going, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll do what Psalms 34 says. And read these aloud. Walk your floor. Read these out loud to the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Have you ever had a deliverance from fear? Let me tell you what, fear has torment. Have you feared that you're not going to have enough money to go around right now? Some of us are wondering if you're going to be able to eat, you know, because products are disappearing off the shelves, and there could be all kinds of fear happening. But here's what it says. He delivered me from all my fears. Why could He deliver me from that? Because I seek Him and know that He's going to supply my need. He's going to pay. He's going to somehow pay that money. Brent and Melissa were pastoring a small church years ago when their children were very little. Their children are grown now. But they had a bill coming due the next day, and they needed $300. They had five. Well, he said, when you only have you only have five and you need 300, you go get snow cones. So they went down and took their kids and got snow cones. But they had been seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, but tomorrow this money has to be paid. Has to be paid tomorrow. And they'd ask the Lord. They go get snow cones, and when they came back, there was $300 tucked inside their little swinging door, those extra little doors, storm doors, we call them. Well, in those little storm door were $300 tucked in them. He had no clue. Anybody he asked, he couldn't figure out who did it. And then probably 6-7 months later, they were in Pizza Hut, which was right across the street from the church and their house where they lived. And this guy sitting there eating pizza, this trucker, and he said, hey, preacher. And he went over there and he said, hey. He said, did you find $300 in your door? And he said, was that you? He said, you know, God been talking to me about 6 months. And he said, that day is just continually, over and over and over and over. And he said, I'd been thinking I need to pay some money to the church, you know. And he went over and stuck that money in. But Brent and Don, for him, he was grabbing hold of the scripture and saying, Lord, I just got to trust you. I don't know. But God's got, He's gone to cattle on 1,000 hills. Can He not send manna to us? Will He not help us? Does He not see what's happening in our world? Why would we be afraid? Can we not? We seek Him. And then He'll deliver us from all of our fears, and He'll meet our need. And they looked to Him and were radiant. And didn't say, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Listen to this. This is special. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear Him and delivers them. Wow. You got angels. We got angels in this place today.
Praise God.
If I saw one, I'd probably pass out. But I would like to see an angel. But I do know there were times that someone told me, she said, did you see the angel in church today? No. Well, he's standing right over your husband's head, pouring something. Oh, while he was talking, he was pouring something over his head. Can you get into this word? Because there's treasures to find that's going to give you unction. It's going to give you stability. It's going to give you purpose. It's going to give you joy. It's going to take away your fear. God is going to enlighten your mind. You're going to see things you couldn't see before, and He's going to open your understanding, and you're going to have a very happy life, even though you walk through great trouble. Don't mean you won't have trouble, but it just means that whatever you're walking through, you got something to hold to.
Amen.